Thank you for listening to this message from Calvary Chapel Red Wing. This message is from Sunday, September 9th, in which we shared the vision and the mission of Calvary Chapel Red Wing going forward. We hope you're blessed and encouraged, and once again, thanks for listening. We look forward to all that God wants to do at Calvary Chapel Red Wing. Father, we just thank you for this time, and I thank you for each person here. And Lord, we just come collectively, Lord, just asking for your guidance, for your leading and your direction, Lord, as far as this church, Lord. It's your church, and you're the head, and so we just want to follow after you. We ask that you would be glorified, that you would be encouraging, Lord, for those that are here, just to know where we're going, and yeah, God, we just pray that you would just make us into the church that you want us to be, and that we would be doing only those things that you show us to do, and we wouldn't be engaging in things that you haven't called us to. And so, Lord, would you just bless this time? Would you just speak? Would you just make things clear? We pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we wanted to share with you the vision and the mission. So what I want to do is kind of back up and just share kind of how we got here. I don't mean Chris and I from New Zealand and the family, but to kind of talk about the last 2 years. So we're entitling this Vision and Mission, but really, the last 2 years, what have we been doing? And hopefully you'll understand why I'm kind of starting here and why we're doing this. Not to get into everything that happened, because I don't want to dredge it up. I think we're moving forward and moving past that. Those of you that were here, you know what happened. Those of you that are new, you're like, what happened? It's really not important. We're moving forward. Stuff. But when we got here, we really felt the need to just kind of bring stability. Okay? In fact, when I talked to Dirk before I ever came to visit. We have a mutual friend, a good friend of ours in Colorado, is one of his best friends, and he was the one that kind of encouraged Dirk to even start the church. And unbeknownst to me, I called this guy out of the blue when we were in New Zealand praying about coming to Minnesota. He goes, where in Minnesota? I go, oh, it's not important. Some little thing goes, where in Minnesota? I said, Red Wing. He goes, oh, my friend Dirk, he's the one that started that church. I'm like, what? So God just kind of began to orchestrate this. So Dirk really, he just talked to me and just said, you know, this body's been through a lot, and it's grown, and then there was transition, and then it grew again, and then there was, you know, more transition. But he said there's a great group of people, a great core group of people that really just need a pastor to come in and just bring some stability and just begin to teach the word and just kind of calm things down. And he said, I think once that happens, you'll begin to see, you know, God really do a neat thing. And so that's what we began to do. So there was really no big agenda. We're going to come in and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. It was like, we just want to be here. We want to get settled. We want to get to know you guys. And we want you to get to know us, because those of you that kind of walked through that transition, you know, there was some painful stuff. And so it may have been hard to even trust, you know, maybe a pastor again. And so we just wanted to be really sensitive to that. So there was really no overarching big agenda. Want to get to know you, wanted you to get to know us, and wanted to build trust. So that's what is on here, okay? Need for people to get to know us, need to build trust, and then really the need to go slow. And so there's people like, are we going to do this? Are we going to do that? Well, we used to do this, and we used to do that, and it was kind of like, you know what? We don't want to just try to like line all this stuff up and just, you know, try to charge out of the gate. Let's just kind of steady the boat and see where it goes. And so that brings us really now to the 2 year mark. I mean, in August, right when we left to go to Europe, that was basically, we are here 2 years. And so what led us here as far as coming to this night and sharing with you? Well, some of you may remember, you know, going into the summer, approaching summer.
What does that mean?
Okay. I don't know what they're doing, man. They're like holding a note, a sustained note or something. Yeah, hey. As Gracie and Emma said, you know what? As long as nobody dies, right? I mean, if we get through tonight and no one's dead, it's a good night. Yeah, we have nurses and yeah, it's awesome. All right. So if you remember, there was some talk about, man, we're going into the summer, and we communicated, you know, we want to do all this stuff with the building and the parking lot. And we even went and looked at another building down on Main Street, and several of us went and walked through. And literally, we were like a day away, I kid you not, a day away from me walking into Merchants Bank and basically signing off on $70,000 worth of debt so that we could do our parking lot, do everything we wanted to do in the building, chairs, carpet, everything. But it was really cosmetic. And I woke basically up one morning, and I got an email. It was from Paul. And he just said, hey, I'm on board, but I just want to ask, you know, just a gut check. Are we really sure that this is what the Lord wants us to do, is to take on more debt to get these things done? And, man, I was just like, oh, wow, okay. And so what that led us to do was to begin to have a different conversation and seek some outside help, seek some outside advice, okay? So, gut check. Are we sure we want to take on $70,000 worth of debt to get it all done? And that kind of just like was in my thinking, like, whoa, I don't know that it is, okay? So as we begin to seek outside advice, we contacted, it's hard to maybe see, it's a little small. We contacted a ministry called Poimen Ministries. Now, Poimen Ministries is made up of about 10 retired Calvary Chapel pastors who have each pastored for at least 25, if not more, 25 to 35 years. So they've walked with churches through all kinds of decision making, from, you know, buildings and moving buildings and buying buildings and property and all these kinds of things. And so I just kind of sent an email out, and someone put me in contact with them, and they said, hey, do you know Brian Newberry? Now, some of you guys remember my friend Brian that came at the end of June. And I said, oh, yeah. He goes, well, he just came on with Poimen. And so it might be good for you just to spend some time with him, or have him come out and spend some time with you. Brian has, you know, a lot of great experience and, you know, would just love to help you walk through some of this stuff. And so I said, well, what does that look like? And so I talked with the elders, Scott, Mike, and Paul, and we agreed to bring him out. It was basically put him up, feed him, fly him out, and then anything on top of that you want to do. So it's not like some exorbitant, you know, consulting fee to have this guy. These are pastors who have experience that want to just come alongside and help. And so we thought, you know what, this is probably wise. So Brian came out, and we spent a lot of time trying to get back to the slide. I'm pointing it there, but there's clickers right there, so it's weird. There we go. Okay, so spent time with him, and he began to just ask me a lot of questions. So a lot of it was very personal, and he spent time with the family. He drove around Red Wing with me, came and looked at our building. There was a Sunday where he sat with groups of you afterwards and just, you know, heard you and asked you guys questions. But some of the things he began to ask me is, what is your calling? What has God called you to do personally? And then what is the vision and the mission of the church? Now, here's the thing. I knew that he was going to ask you and try to get out of you, as he talked to you, can you articulate the vision and the mission of Calvary Chapel Red Wing? And I cut him off at the pass. I said, I know that they won't be able to. And he said, well, why do you know that? I said, because we have never communicated that from the front. We've been here trying to just stabilize things and, you know, build, you know, a foundation, but we haven't like kind of launched out on this whole new vision and mission thing. And so we began to work through that. And so what we came to is that instead of going to Merchants Bank and signing and taking on all this debt. Because one, if we're thinking about if we were ever going to move, you know, one pastor said, well, how does taking on more debt help you to do that? Which is wise, right? Because I don't know that that helps you. And basically, what I got to working with Brian and with the guys is that we could do all this cosmetic stuff and, you know, have the proper sign up front and have the nice new parking lot and have the chairs and everything nice cosmetically. But what we need to really be concerned about is, are we doing the right things on the inside? And if we're doing the right things on the inside, we can start to move into, you know, some of those other things. But what we need to do is make sure we're doing the things right on the inside. And so part of that, and I think a big part of that, is where are we going? Who are we? What are we trying to do? What are we about? And so that's where this whole vision and mission thing is. And so I spent time with Brian, and it was just kind of like overload, all this information. I had just like pages and pages of notes. And Kristen, she said, you need to get away and just spend some time seeking the Lord. You need to go and hear the Lord and try to synthesize this and process this so that you can come back and you know, share something with the guys that's, you know, meaningful. And so I booked a place. I went away for a few days. I mean, it was some random place like Buffalo County. They call it resort or something. It's not a resort. It's just a resort in air quotes. I mean, this is a town of like, I think there's 60 people that live there, and you're just like kind of in this little cabin right off the road that runs through. And I just basically holed up in there for a couple days. And I had a whiteboard, and I had my notes from Brian. I had my Bible, my computer, and just got to spend a lot of time. And I really believe that God just spoke to me. I believe that he showed me things to be able to come back and share. And so that's what tonight is all about. That whole process, kind of going into the summer, hey, we want to do all this stuff, and then calling Brian and him coming and meeting and seeing and dialoguing, and then me going away. And what we didn't want to do is have this meeting, share kind of all this vision, mission stuff, and then we just disappear for 3 weeks. And so that's why, you know, we wanted to do it after we got back from our trip. And so we've kind of been working on this since before we left, and then we, you know, met since we got back, and really have tried to synthesize all this for you. So, in talking with Brian, he said, what do you feel, and what do you believe, actually, that God has called you to do with your life? Like, what is Mike Montgomery to be about? And he asked me a bunch of questions, and we just really kind of sat for an hour or two, just, you know, answering and dialoguing and stuff like that. And basically, if I could boil it down in a nutshell, I believe what God has called me to do is help people fully follow Jesus. If I can just make it simple, to help people fully follow Jesus. Okay? So if that's what he's called me to do, and then he's called me to be the pastor, then obviously that's going to now play into the vision of the church. Okay? And what you need to know, if you don't know this, is Calvary Chapels, they're pastor-led churches. Now, I say that, we have elders, okay? And we have meetings, and I love these guys, and I count on these guys, and I appreciate these guys. At the end of the day, though, Calvary Chapels, it's not a congregational movement, so it's not like we sit there and bring all this stuff to you and like, all right, everyone, we're going to take a democratic vote. It's not even really an elder-led movement, although guys, if they're smart, have good elders and they rely on them. The guys that just like, well, it's a pastor-led movement, I'm the pastor, I'm going to make all the decisions, those are the guys that get in trouble. Okay, but at the end of the day, Calvary Chapels are pastor-led. And so if God's vision for me is this, then it's going to naturally begin to play into the vision of the church. So I shared this with the elders, and we really worked on hammering out and coming up with a vision statement that everyone should and I believe will be able to articulate very shortly. Okay, we're going to share it tonight. We're going to send you home with it so you can look at it. But if Brian or anyone ever comes back and they say, hey, what is the vision of Calvary Chapel Red Wing? You're going to be able to articulate it. And everyone that begins to call this place home is going to be able to articulate it because we're going to talk about it. Everything that we do is going to flow from that. And so, you know, the mission statement is also very easy. You get into some organizations and churches and things, and their mission statement it's like this big, long, rambling kind of thing. So we're just trying to make it so easy to wrap our heads around and to grab hold of. And I think that we've done that. But like I said, you should, from tonight forward, really be able to begin to articulate. Someone says, well, what are you guys all about? You should be able to answer that question. Well, what's your vision? What's your mission statement? Those things should just begin to really flow from each one of us. So, you know, what are we about? Well, I'm going to show you on the screen. We can get there. I keep pointing the wrong place. I don't need all this. It's coming. There we go. Oh, okay. Leave it to technology. All right. So what is the vision for CCRW? Instead of saying Calvary Chapel Red Wing each time, just CCRW. And guys, this isn't some like brand new, you know, some kind of crazy newfangled thing that you've never heard of. Okay, it would be really weird if it was, because we want to be biblical, so you got to go back to kind of the original. So the vision, okay, is this: helping people become mature, faithful followers of Jesus Christ. That's our mission. Helping people become mature, faithful followers of Jesus. Now, I'm going to give you a sheet, okay, when we leave, that has all what I'm showing you up there. So you're going to be able to have that in hand, look at it, okay? But it's what we're going to be all about. Hey, if you don't have, if you aim for nothing, what do they say? You're sure to hit it. But Habakkuk, it talks about write the vision down. Okay, without vision, the people perish. So write the vision down so that people can walk in it, people can go with it. I hit something. Okay, so the vision is what we're all about. Vision is what we're about. Mission is how that plays out. Does that make sense? The vision is helping people become mature, faithful followers of Jesus. How we're going to do that becomes our mission. Okay, so the mission, it's going to be very, very simple. Now, Calvary Chapels, different Calvary Chapels have variations of this. There's a church in Colorado, Calvary Chapel Aurora, and their mission statement is basically win, disciple, send. We want to win people for Jesus, we want to disciple people for Jesus, and we want to send people for Jesus. The church we came out of in Albuquerque, it was like elevate or exalt, equip, and then evangelize. So we want to elevate God, we want to equip the saints, and then we want to evangelize the world. So there's variations on that. And if you remember, there used to be a big piece of wood above, you know, the exit when you walked out. And do you remember what it said? Reach, teach, men, send. And that's fine. That's great. Okay? That's Chicks from Calvary St. Paul. And you know, there's nothing wrong with that. So here's our mission statement, if you will, for CCRW. If we can get there. The suspense. Were you just waiting? Yeah. Okay. So it's very easy to remember. It rolls off your tongue. To know, to grow, and to go. Now, obviously, these are going to get fleshed out. But, like, we want to know Jesus personally and deeply. And what I'm going to do is just kind of go through these and kind of talk about what kind of things fall under these three aspects. Okay? So this first idea, to know. Okay, we want to know the Lord personally and deeply. So what falls under this in helping us to know the Lord? Well, obviously, coming together in worship, coming together in prayer, coming together for Bible study, like what we do on Sunday, We're going to begin to incorporate afterglows or times of just waiting on the Lord and allowing the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be exercised decently and in order, not like swinging from the chandeliers and chaotically. Okay? Because that's one of the things that has always been a part of Calvary Chapel. We believe in all the gifts of the Spirit. We're not cessationists. Okay? We believe that the gifts are still for today. But practically, are we allowing that to happen? And so we're going to move into times where we're actually doing that. After Revelation, I believe I'm going to go to the book of Acts. And so we're going to look at the birth of the church. And we're going to see just the Holy Spirit just popping up all over the place. And we're going to, you know, do that. But we're going to have times where we just come together and we're just going to wait on the Lord and have a night of worship and prayer. So that's what kind of falls under this waiting or this idea of knowing. So I've asked Paul Campy to come up and just share some thoughts just about this idea, as Paul is one of our elders. So you should come and stand here just so you can pick it up. I'll go like this. There you go.
All right. Well, in the context of knowing, you know, when we come to know Christ Jesus as Lord, we no longer seek other religions or worldly philosophies to understand the meaning of life, right? Knowing Jesus and his word gives us eyes to see the difference between dark and light. And knowing Jesus, knowing God, gives us understanding into the meaning of life, because Jesus is life. Amen. And in the New Testament, great person to refer to find out what his prayer for the body of believers was is the Apostle Paul. Listen to what Paul wrote to the Colossians in chapter 1. Again, just in this context of knowing God. This is 1 verse 9. And so, from the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And so we want to know him.
All right. So we love Jesus. We love the Bible. We love worship. Okay? Love to pray. And those are going to be things that we continue to do. But those are the things that kind of fall under this idea of know. Next, okay, we're going to talk about this idea of grow. All right? It's to grow into maturity in our faith and relationship to Jesus Christ and in biblical community with one another. Because we're not just called to have a relationship with Jesus and Jesus only, in the sense of, well, I'm just going to be an undercover Christian, I don't need anyone else. We're called to grow in our faith. We're called to grow in our relationship with him. But we're called to be in community. God made us to be in community. And so having a dinner like we did tonight, hopefully you sat with someone maybe that you haven't sat with. When we have these potlucks, it's the time to get together. When we have the picnics, it's the time to get together. When we have these fire pits. And guys, we're trying to be way more proactive in getting ourselves together outside of coming into these four walls. We're going to talk about this in a little bit, but the early church, they met and they would come together corporately and they would hear the apostles teach. They would come together and worship corporately, but the rest of the time they were getting together house to house. They were meeting in smaller groups. They were doing life with one another. And so that's one of the things, this idea of growing. It's not just growing deep in our relationship with Jesus. It's growing deep in our relationship with one another. And so there's some things that begin to fall under that. So what falls under this category, okay, this idea of grow? Getting a new clicker does. Okay, had it. Okay, so this idea of discipleship. Matthew 28, the Great Commission says, go into all the world, what? Preaching the gospel, teaching, making disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The key verb in that is not the go, just so you know. The imperative, the key verb, the main verb is the making disciples. And so here's the thing. We're called to make disciples, But we can't make disciples if we're not a disciple ourselves. Okay? We ourselves have to be a disciple if we're going to make disciples. So we have to understand what it means to be a disciple before we can actually come alongside someone else and help them become a disciple. So, discipleship. Well, how does this happen? Okay? Now, mind you, when I run through this list, this isn't like, man, next week all this stuff is like happening. Okay? This is going to begin to be rolled out, and you know, over time, it's going to take time to kind of get into all this. But small groups, okay, men's study, women's study, youth group, time for the youth to come together. Looking at possibly home groups and how that looks. Okay, some other things that we're really praying about. Okay, classes, maybe you know something on a midweek. Okay, look. How did it disappear? Can I just say I hate PCs? This is running on a PC and I hate them. Okay, so maybe the need to have a new believers or a foundations class. If someone comes here and they hear the gospel and they come to Jesus, well, now how are they going to grow? Someone needs to come alongside them, or we need to have something that they can come to and begin to be taught kind of the first steps of what it means to be a new believer. So that's one of the things we need to really, you know, wrap our heads around. Just simply how to study the Bible, okay, is something that we've thought of. You know, having marriage, you know, classes or Bible studies or things. Parenting, Bible classes, you know, having like, hey guys, you know, on this night, we're going to have like mini Bible school and we're going to, you know, study, you know, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, or something like that. These are just, like I said, these are all things that fall under this category. Financial, what I mean by that is like a Dave Ramsey or, you know, just really being good biblical stewards of your resources. That's growing, okay? If you know how to do that, that's helpful. What else falls under this? Equipping, okay? Just really talking about this idea of servanthood and exposing you guys to different people talking about it. So, you know, coming together every so often and having just, hey guys, we're just going to have like an in-house ministry training. We're going to watch this, or we're going to listen to this, we're going to talk about it, and just doing that kind of on a regular basis. This idea of training, okay? So, you know, there might be ministries that we begin and it's like we want to train people. You know, if we're asking people to, you know, be down in the nursery or kids ministry, there's people that might do it, but they're like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. We want to come alongside and help you. Hey, I'd be an usher, but what do I do as a greeter? Or, you know what? So we want to really begin to come alongside and, you know, train people, whether you're helping on the soundboard or, you know, in the coffee shop and just other things. So just, you know, that is all part of equipping. Drum roll. Come on, Ben. There we go. All right. So just talking more about this idea of fellowship and community. Things inside the church. Okay, we've been doing potluck Sundays, and we do that, you know, usually every month. We want to maybe incorporate movie nights where, you know, there's some great Christian movies out there, and we're just, hey, guys, this Friday night, come together, and we're just going to have movies. Coffee shop nights. Now, I know they used to do coffee shop, and you guys used to do it on Saturday. And it's one of those things, Friday, okay? So it's one of those things where, you know, we want to pray. Here's what we need to do. We need to pray. God, is this, what is it that you want? Because the temptation is, oh, we used to have it, and it used to be, you know, it used to be this great thing. But is it what God wants now? And if it is, then great, let's step into it. But it's where we have to seek the Lord and say, God, what is it that you want? How are we to be a light in this community? How are we to impact, you know, the people around us? So fellowship and community, and it could just be times where we come together. We're playing games. You're in people's lives. Okay, what else falls under this? Okay, outside the church, what we've been doing kind of through the summer, Friday night fire pits, church picnic, this thing coming up on Saturday, and baptism, just a time to get together. Men's and women's get-togethers. Okay, we want to get the guys together outside of church, outside of men's study, and maybe have, you know, we go blow things up. Shoot things, firearms, you know, We go bowling or, you know, do something. Okay, just doing that together. Ladies, you guys can go and knit and have coffee and I don't know. Maybe you guys want to go bowling or blow stuff up. I don't know. Maybe there's some of you gals that want to go blow stuff up. Some of you guys are maybe packing right now. I don't know. Okay? This idea of dinners for eight. Now, we've done this in various places where basically you just say, hey, this night is going to be a designated night for dinner for eight. And people sign up, and people sign up to host. People sign up to attend. If you're a host, you basically are going to take on 6 to 8 adults and kids, and you're going to be in charge of letting people know what to bring. And there might be 4 or 5 of those going on in different places on a given night. And like, hey, this Friday, it's dinners for eight. And you might be going to so-and-so's house this time, and then we do it in 2 or 3 months, and then you're going to someone else's house. And you're just getting together with one another in people's homes, and you're having people to your home. It's very simple. Okay, like I said, this isn't like revolutionary, complicated stuff. And then the last thing that kind of falls under this idea of growing, okay, leadership training, mentoring those with a call to leadership. Now, that's something that's really kind of on my mantle, if you will, that I need to be really mentoring those and looking for those that God is calling to leadership. And I've stopped driving the bus in the morning so that if I can be available and so-and-so can only meet on a morning because of work schedule, then now I'm available. Okay? And it may just be one-on-ones, or it may be me meeting with 1 or 2 or 3 people at a time. I don't know. But this is something that this idea of growing. And what Brian said is what you want, if you want mature, faithful followers of Jesus, like in the vision, then there has to be more happening than just Sunday, right? I mean, that makes sense. He's not telling me anything that I didn't, you know, wasn't like, really? No way, okay? So it was just good to have a fresh set of eyes and just, you know, a reminder of these things. So I'm going to have Mike Hagee come up and just talk about this idea of growing real quick.
Hello. I guess I'll just kind of share an experience about, I remember one of the first times I was kind of challenged sitting in church to grow in the Lord, and it was probably 10, 12 years ago, and Dirk was a pastor, and I remember he was doing a 3-day fast for the church. I was at church, if you can, we're going to fast for 3 days and then pray each night, come to church and pray each night. And I kind of do physical work, so I did fasting, though that's really not going to work for me. So, but I just remember waking up. I didn't go to it. I remember just waking up one night, in the middle of the night, just super convicted by the Lord. Here you go to church Sunday morning, you sing all these songs, I can do everything for you, move mountains, you're so wonderful. But when your pastor asks you to show up and pray for 3 nights, well, I'm not really going to do that. So, I mean, that just really tore me up and caused me to examine my life and see that, start reading the Bible more and see that I really wasn't doing all these things that I sing about that I do on Sunday morning. I mean, I wasn't a bad guy, but I just wasn't helping the church out or help people grow together. So, I mean, that's one thing that really woke me up. Then, like 6, 9 months later, we had another 3-day fast, and I was there for that one. And it was amazing. It just truly was how the Lord can speak to you through that and just lift you up. So that's, and then there's obviously highs and lows. You get close to the Lord and then the world starts sucking back in. And that's why we need to get together and encourage each other and be there for things like that. And then just recently we had a marriage seminar, Robbery Now, that was at Cornerstone. Me and my wife really enjoyed that, and that was just about praying with your spouse. And that's, me and my wife don't always do that all the time, and he was encouraged to do it every day, no matter what, even if it's 10 seconds. And that's hard to do when you're arguing. So it kind of touches that. We haven't been completely faithful to that either. And that's what our challenge is. We don't want to be a church that you just show up on Sunday morning, but we want people to put their lives invested in each other, and that's how we will become closer to God. Hmm. Thank you.
Awesome. All right, so we've talked about know, we've talked about grow, and the last part of the equation, okay, is this idea of go. And I kind of put in parentheses here, playing a part in the Great Commission, getting in the game. Okay, and like I said this morning, to be more than just a pew potato. Oh, I come, I take space, I leave. God has more for you, for your life than that. And don't take this as, oh, here comes the big ploy to get me involved and, you know, I got to serve. That's not what I'm doing. But what I want to say is that if you're not actively serving somewhere, if you're not actively in the game, you're missing out on a huge part of the Christian life. Because the Christian life is not just, oh, I come, I hear a Bible study, I sing songs, then I leave. That's not the Christian life. That's an element of it. But the Christian life is so much more than that. And so that's where this idea of go. And so to go is, oh, don't go away from me. To go. Stay. Yes. Be healed. All right. To go as servants and ambassadors into the world for Jesus Christ and make disciples, showing the love of God through our lives. Okay, that's what's wrapped up in this idea of go. So what kinds of things fall under this? Okay. Better not be there again. Okay. Just to serve, to get plugged in a church. Now, there, I'm looking around and many of you are involved here. Many of you, you're either with the kids, you help when we need, you know, work done on the building, you know, you show up for our different events, whether it's Church in the Park or the Harvest Outreach, you serve on the worship team or, you know, sound or slides or whatever. But as we begin to go forward, I think there's going to be more opportunities. And I think the challenge basically to each one of you is, what does God have for you, and where does God want you to be a part? Did you want to say something?
Yeah, would this include stuff that goes on outside
your
church?
Yeah. Yeah.
We have a Tuesday morning Bible class, or Thursday morning Bible class.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's this whole idea of go, that we're going as ambassadors, that we're doing, like, we're plugged in here, yes, but that we're going out into the world. That's what Jesus said. Hey, what? Go into all the world, preach the gospel, teach, make disciples. And so serving, okay, evangelism, okay, sharing the gospel. And some of you are like, oh, I could never do that. Well, you can, and we want to train you. Okay, we want to have times where we role play and we go through things and we let you experience it and then we take you out. I remember when I took over as a high school pastor and we told the kids, hey, we're going to go and evangelize all the kids that are hanging out at the movie theater. And they're just like, well, what do you do? I'm just like, just come and watch. And I used to take a video camera. I'd go up and I'd ask kids questions, and pretty soon I'd have, you know, 10, 12 kids around me and I'm just sharing the gospel and the camera's down at my side. And like 2-3 weeks later, I went, and man, the kids just went out and they were having their own conversations and they were doing it. Okay? And so we can all do that. We have tracks for you guys. And, you know, Jerry, he said, hey, I'm taking more tracks. I've been giving these out. Can I take some more? I'm like, take as many as you're going to give out. Okay? Those are there. We don't charge you for them. It's like, man, if you're going to give them, take them. And if we run out, we'll buy more. Okay? It's getting the gospel out. And so we want to have training, we want to plan opportunities. Stay. Okay, missions outreach. Okay, local. How can we reach out locally? Well, we're already involved with supporting First Choice Clinic. I invite and encourage you guys to go to the banquet coming up on the 20th and hearing about the work. We do things like Church in the Park, where we're out, we're very visible, and we invite people to come and we feed them. But we're praying about other ways. And if you have ideas, there's other things that, hey, what if we tried this? And I know in times past, they've done like a skate outreach, you know, years ago. And that was a huge success. And there's other things. So we just want to be seeking the Lord. Lord, how can we impact Red Wing? Okay. So that's locally. Then, yes. Okay. International. What are we doing internationally? Well, right now, okay, we currently support His Safe Haven and the work that they're doing there. And if you don't know, right now they're building land, and we're going to hear an update, you know, probably in the next little bit about just what's going on there and their desire just to see more ministry happen, and, you know, looking at all kinds of different things. And so we support that. We support Gary and Jackie Price, and it's been a failure of mine to really communicate more what they're doing, and so that's going to become, they're going to become more visible to you guys. They were missionaries with us in Hungary, and they have a church in Cabo San Lucas, and I know that sounds like a very, you know, ooh, that sounds like a nice vacation spot. They are not in the nice vacation spot, okay? I can show you pictures. They are in anything but. They're in, like, the slum part. And they are just trusting God, and God has provided land, and they want to build a church. And so I'm looking to get down there and interface with them and see about maybe taking a team down there, possibly. But what are some other things, okay? What are some other things that God, how he wants us to reach out? We have connections literally like all over the world, okay? We got to reconnect with the work in Hungary and what's going on there, and it's just, I could sit here and talk about it for a long time, but we don't have time. It's just, it's an amazing thing, and the church in Budapest, one of the most amazing churches I've ever seen, and to get to teach there when I was there was just like a dream come true. It was amazing, and for my kids to experience that. So I really believe that God has reconnected us there, and that there's future things there. We have missionary friends in Croatia. Some of our best friends in Hungary for a long, long, long time have had a deep-seated desire to go to Bosnia, to go to Sarajevo. And if you remember, Sarajevo just got ripped up, shelled during the war, and it has been their like heart's desire to go and plant a church. And so I would love to see them, when their time in Hungary's done, go down there, and love to get behind them and see that happen. It'd just be amazing. So, you know, there's all kinds of places. We have connections in New Zealand, other places. And so we just really want to be praying, God, where is it that you want us to connect? Where is it that you want us to invest? Now, we're not a big church, but you know what? We can have still impact locally, and we can still have impact globally. Okay, just because, you know, we're small doesn't mean God calls us to be less. I mean, how did Jesus change the world? He left it, I mean, he basically gave instructions to 12, one deserted, went and, you know, hung himself, so it was 11, and then it says there was 120 people meeting in the upper room, and then the church was born. And we are all here as a result of the work that they began to do. They changed the world. So how did they change the world? Well, I just want to talk about that real quick, and then I'm going to give some time for questions. When you go back and you look at the early church, okay, you have to go back to the book of Acts. That's where the church was born. And that's why I'm excited when we're done with Revelation to go into the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2, and this is the message that I actually gave when I was in Budapest. I got asked to teach there, and so, I mean, it's a church of probably 1,500, like three services, I mean, just back to back to back on Sunday, and I mean, they're doing, like, amazing ministry. And so, initially, you know, I got asked to teach, and I'm like, ooh, you know, what kind of, you know, amazing message can I bring and just wow them? God goes, what are you doing? You don't need to do that. This is already an amazing church. You just need to remind them of some things. And so he took me to Acts 2. And so just real quick, I want to go through marks of an Acts 2 church, because I believe this in its simplicity is what we're to be about. And this really falls in line with the vision and the mission of what we're trying to accomplish. Okay, so you can find this in Acts 2, verses 40 through 47. If you're taking notes, or if you're going to go back and listen to this, we are recording it. We will put it up on the website this week so that you can go back and listen to it, and those who weren't here can listen to it. So I just want to read these verses and then just real quick just give you some highlights and then open it up for some questions, okay? Acts 2, verse 40. Going through 47, it says, "And with many other words, he, that is the Apostle Peter, testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Okay, so what are the marks? There's six marks, and I just want to touch on them real quick. First, their agenda was spiritual. When they came together, it wasn't about, you know, hey, we're going to just, you know, get together and kill time, or we're just going to, you know, talk about the latest, you know, sports things. And we do that. That's fine. But when they got together, their agenda was spiritual. Second, their aim was social. Now, some of you are like, going, what? Their aim was social? Well, yeah. Peter said, be saved, what? From this perverse generation. God calls us out of the world, but he also calls us out of the world and into community, into the body of believers. And so there is this idea of social where we're doing life together. Third, the atmosphere was supernatural. Okay, God was moving. They were expecting God to move. They were asking God to move. They were giving place for God to move. Fourth, their attitude was one of solidarity or unity. They were unified. They understood what they were to be about. They were sharing. They were in community. They were doing life together. As someone had need, they were meeting those needs. So there was this attitude of solidarity. Fifth, their approach was simple. Okay, remember it says about simplicity. Where is it? They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Okay, they would come together daily in one accord in the temple and then breaking bread from house to house. They would gather in large group together corporately, and then they would be, you know, broken up in houses and having these smaller groupings. But there was this simplicity. They didn't make it complicated. And then six, the action was steadfast. Okay, it was steady. Continuing steadfastly. What does that mean? It just means consistent. It just means consistency. And I'll just say this, and I'm not picking on anybody, okay? Just hear my heart as a pastor. When you're not here, you miss out, and the body misses out by you not being here. Now, I understand things come up. I get that. But for you to fully get out of the Christian experience and out of church what God wants you to get, you actually have to be there. I know that sounds very simple, but there's some people who are like, ah, I don't need the church. I just, you know, I read the Bible. I go for a nature walk and, you know, it's me and God. We have God time and we're all good. Guys, there's a whole lot of one another's in the Bible that you don't do unless you're there. And when you're not there, you may think, oh, nobody cares. Nobody's missing out. No, I know pretty much who's here. And when certain people aren't here, when you're not here, there's an element that's missing. Okay, and I get it. Stuff comes up and you're traveling and all that stuff. But I really challenge you, man, make it a priority to be here. Because when you're here, you're going to be a part of what God's doing. And you're going to experience God working in you and through you. And you will feel tied to that community. Okay, so those are really kind of the six things. And I could sit here and talk about them for a long time. I mean, I gave a whole message on it, but I'm not going to do that. Agenda was spiritual. Aim was social. Atmosphere was supernatural. The attitude was one of solidarity or unity. The approach was simple. And the action was steady. Okay? Very easy to remember. So, guys, this vision, this mission, I know it's not some, like, revolutionary thing. If you were coming here like, oh, my gosh, what is it going to be? Guys, it's just really honing in and getting back to the basics. So, you know, I'm thinking of Paul. You know, before you guys came here, you were with this group, you know, Acts 2 Fellowship. This isn't anything new, right? No. I mean, but we got to go back to the beginning, and that's what we want to be about. So the vision that we shared, the mission that we shared, that's going to really drive everything we're gonna do, okay? It's going to affect... I don't need all that because I already said it. Okay? It's going to affect what our calendar begins to look like, the things that get scheduled. And one of the things that by the end of this month, we're going to have a calendar of pretty much everything that's happening between now and December 31st. And then we're actually going to try to work on in the remaining time of this year to get as best we can a whole schedule for all of 2019. okay? From movie nights to evangelism training to a mission trip or whatever it is, so that you're not in the dark, so that you can plan, so that you can see what we're doing, okay? So it's not a surprise. Hey, this is what we're about. So we're giving time to the things that we've talked about. That's one of the things that we're going to be working on. So by the end of the month, really, we want to have from now until the end of the year. And then by the end of the year, we're going to try to have as best we can all of next year just kind of laid out. So you can see, wow, okay, this is what we're doing. So it'll be different classes or groups, and they might meet for 6 weeks or 7 weeks and then take a break and then something else going on. But you'll be able to see kind of bird's eye view of that. That's kind of what we want to. So it's going to affect the decisions that we make. I met with the bank yesterday, and just so you guys know, we have to renegotiate because it's a commercial loan, so every 5 years, so our time is up. And if we continue to pay the same payment that we're paying now, okay, 5 years this place is paid off. If we pay just $850 more per month on that, this place is debt-free in 3 years. That's huge. That's huge. And one of the things that Brian challenged us is, can you guys learn to live on 70%? What he meant by 70% that comes in, can that pay salary? Can that pay mortgage? Can that pay utilities? And then 10% to missions, 10% to savings, and 10% towards above and beyond payments on the building. So right now we are really chomping at the bit to get all of our financial information into this program zero so that we can begin to really lay out budgets and graphs and see what our financial picture is and assets. So Paul and I are working on that. And so hopefully in the next month, really, we should have that nailed down. Okay. So just pray for Paul, pray for myself as we work on that. But we just want to, you know, really have some goals. Man, it would be amazing to just be done paying on this place in 3 years. And maybe God would do it even sooner than that. You know, where we're giving as far as missions right now, I would say it might be 4 or 5%. We want to bump that up to 10. There are missionaries that I just was with that desperately need support right now. Okay? And so, you know, we can, even though we're a small church, begin to meet some of those needs. You know, and then saving. We want to do stuff. Yes, we want to do stuff around here. We do want to address the parking lot, but I don't want to go into debt to do it. I want to put chairs in here. Some of you are like, well, I want the pews. Guess what? If we get chairs, you can take a pew and put it in your house. You can have it with you the whole time. You can take two, three, okay? And I'll rent a truck and bring them to your house. But we don't want to go into debt to do those things. We want to save. We want to be wise. And then when we have money to do something, okay, hey, we have an extra $1,500. Well, let's you know, do the bathrooms, or you know what I mean? We really want to be doing the right things inside first and then let this other stuff kind of take care of itself. But we do want to have goals. If you don't have goals, you don't get anywhere. And so, you know what? You know, maybe God would call us to stay here for a lot longer. Maybe he would have us move. I don't know. But I want to be in a place where if he did call us to move, we could. And going $70,000 the other way isn't going to make that happen. Guess what? You know the Econo Foods on the other end of town? I knew as soon as Aldi went in that thing was going to go out of business. I predicted it'd be a year. It just went out of business like yesterday. It's available. Now, that's way too much building for us, but what if they broke it into three chunks? I don't know. I'm not saying that's where we're supposed to be, but I'm saying I want to be in a place where we're seeking the Lord and we can hear him, and if he says go, we're freed up to be able to go. Amen? Amen? Okay, so does all that make sense? I know we kind of just jammed through it, but you're going to start to hear about the vision. We're going to put it on the website. You're going to start to see it within the building. Because one of the things that Brian did, and this was, it was actually comical. The last morning that he was here, he said, okay, let's get in your car, and I want to do something for you. I'm like, what? He goes, just bear with me. I want to role play. And so he went into kind of this character, and basically he was acting as if someone had invited him to come to Calvary Chapel Red Wing, and he's driving up the road trying to find it, and he's just talking out loud about all the things that he's experiencing and the questions that he's asking. And so if I can real quick, I'll just kind of do it, and I won't do it for very long. But, you know, he's driving up the road, and he goes, okay, well, this doesn't look like an area where there'd be a church. It's kind of a residential area, but okay, this is okay, got the address. Oh, okay, there's the sign, and well, I kind of see it, but there's this tree kind of growing up, but I can't really see what's behind it. And then, like, looks like there's a driveway here, but I don't know, am I supposed to go and park back there? And well, I'll go up here and see, and you know, oh, okay, yeah, I guess I'm supposed to park back here, and but then I'm looking back, and do I go in there? Because it doesn't tell me if that's the entrance, or is this actually Calvary Chapel? Because it kind of looks like a house. Do I have to go around to the front? I don't know. And so then we come in, and you know, he's looking around, and he goes, okay, the entryway is nice, and it says welcome, and okay, welcome, but welcome to what? It still hasn't told me where I'm at. Doesn't tell me anything about the building. And then he's looking at the wall, and he says, faith, love, hope, these things on the wall. And he goes, oh, yeah, I've seen those. I got those same signs at Hobby Lobby as well. Okay, and then over the sanctuary, it says, love never fails. Well, that's good. That's true, but still doesn't tell me anything about what these guys are about. And I guess, is that a coffee shop? I don't, there's booze? Looks like I could go in there, but can I go in there? I don't know. Can I go in or should I go in? And I don't know where the bathrooms are. Those bathrooms are those offices because there's no signage on them. And then there's stairs. And what's down there? Can I go down there? Is that like, you know, is it private or what's down there? And he just, you know, he began to do that. And he did about 20 minutes of it. I was laughing. I was just kind of like, because what he was doing is putting himself as somebody coming here for the first time. See, when I walk in the building, I know where I'm supposed to go in. Duh, I'm here every day. I know where the bathrooms are. I don't need a sign to tell me where the bathrooms are. I know where the kids go. I know, yes, that's a cafe. You know what I mean? But that familiarity, if someone's coming for the first time, they're just lost. And we've communicated nothing. He said, you need to be communicating with them from the moment they get here. They're making impressions. If they're checking out, if they're looking for a church, they want to know what you're about. So we want to have the vision readily available. We want to let them know that we are a verse-by-verse Bible-teaching church. We want to let them know, hey, we're currently in Revelation. And he began to just, you know, kind of do and say all these things. And so you're going to start seeing some changes, and we're not talking big cosmetic changes, but just signage and just different things communicating and putting stuff on the website and having some. He walked up to where the Calvary Chapel magazines are. He goes, oh, Calvary Chapel magazine. Oh, I didn't know they had a magazine. Is it free? Do I have to pay? Do I pay for, you know? He said, just communicate. Like, hey, take one. You know, there's just simply those kinds of things. And so it was really valuable for me. But he turned to me and goes, am I bumming you out? I go, you're not bumming me out. I'm sitting here just kind of appalled at myself that these things have kind of slipped past my gaze. You know, like I've just kind of gotten familiar with things. So that's why we had a fresh set of eyes. And I don't know if you notice, okay, that tree that used to be out kind of covering over the sign, it's no longer there. And see, what happened is, I usually come up the road, and I turn, I see the tree, and Brian did something. He said, hey, come here for a second. We're down my office. He goes, I just want to show you something. I go, where are we going? He marches me out, just literally across the street to the other corner. And he kind of then turns me and looks, and he goes, so what do you see? And I said, well, I can't really see the building. Like, there's this big kind of mushroom tree there. And he goes, and? And I go, I want that tree gone, because if it's gone, it'll just be more open. So literally, I tell Mike, Paul, and Scott that on a Tuesday night elders meeting. And then on Wednesday, I'm here, and I'm in my office studying, and all of a sudden, I just hear this, and I'm like, good Lord, what is that? And so I like jet up, and I peek through the little window out there, and he's just taking the tree down. I'm like, well, glad I didn't like take it back. Because, I mean, you know, like, oh, no, let's keep it. I mean, it was gone. And I said, you're taking it down. He goes, you said you wanted it gone. You know what I mean? But then when I went across the street and I looked, it looked totally different. And Brian's like, you have availability. You can put signage. You can let people know, you know, more about who you are and what you are just by taking that tree and letting people see. So that's why the tree went down. So I'm going to give one of these sheets to everybody, Okay, so Josh, you want to come and take half of these and pass them? Okay, this has the vision and it has the mission on it. Okay, take this, read it over. There's going to be a test next Sunday. Okay, but I want you guys to get familiar with the vision. I want you guys to wrap your head around the mission. The vision, helping people become mature, faithful followers of Jesus. That's what we're going to be about. How are we going to do it? We're going to know, grow, and go. How easy is that? It's not complicated, right? It's very easy. So I want you guys to take that.